好没。Those words come from a hardhead who awakened to the dull pain growing in the background while I conducted experiments into doing it my way, which boils down to guess and fake it. Another reality that dawned was that this universe was made by somebody with an actual plan, so that somebody was definitely not me. That conclusion demanded a very simple choice. Mine or his? It didn't take a very long set of A-B columns to figure that one out. Maybe I had been willfully stupid, but that doesn't mean I had to stay stupid. It's a narrow and long path that gets me to the goal. But redirecting my willfulness to keep turning toward him no matter what's trying to seduce me, and the persistent determination to reach the goal, that's my whole job. The expedition includes a lot of resistance, ravenous data transfer from the designer's mind, obedience to his way, and the most menial tasks. Then, whoosh, It's like he made wormholes in the universe to transport retards into sanity. Suddenly, I'm fully awake and in a place with him that's so my home. His unique design in me now alive and ready to be worked out into the physical world and personal interactions with those he connects me with. I'm in. All in. Today I have a very special guest, Jerry Brown. He's the head of U-Turn for Christ, and we've known each other for a while now.
Almost 23 years now.
Welcome, Jerry, and I sure appreciate you being available for this time.
Blessing to be here with you, Terry, and really a privilege. We have loved you and Nancy, and your music has been so powerfully used by the Lord in our personal lives and in the life of the ministry of U-Turn for Christ. So it's an honor to be here with you today, to be a part of the body with you.
Well, I really enjoyed. We've seen the red shirts, row after row of them, show up at different places we've been over the years, and it's always just a joy to see them there because they're on this journey, this expedition at different places in their process of getting free from things and being able to really focus on the Lord. And all stages come sitting in those rows.
That's right.
And I'm going, wow, Jesus, you've got a real fresh crowd here.
Yes.
So go for it.
Yeah.
And it's such a joy. But can you tell a little bit about how you grew up and how you came into a room, so to speak, where Jesus could tell you what he wants you to do?
Sure, Terry. I was very successful in business early on in my life and found myself chasing the money god and ended up in a horrible situation of being involved in manufacturing speed and selling it all for the chasing of that money god.
Yeah.
I found myself in divorce court. My wife and I separated, two children very young, and her pregnant with our third at the time. It got down to the last time that we were to be in court before the whole proceeding was final. And I just asked her, Peg, what do you want from me? What is it that you want for me to do to be able to save our marriage and for me to be the daddy of my children for the rest of their life? And she said, I want you to go to church with me one time. And I said, you got to be crazy, lady. I've been in church all my life. I was born and raised into a family of 15 children.
Mm-hmm.
Very staunch Catholic family.
Yeah.
And she said, no, I want you to go to church with me one time. And when I went, the pastor was speaking from Ephesians chapter 5. When the Bible, was speaking about woman be submissive to your husband, I was elbowing her and saying, if you would listen, we wouldn't be in this place, right? But of course, when he said, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and gave himself for her, and started to expound upon what that meant, I was infuriated, slammed the Bible down, told her that she had even her pastor set up for me to come to church.
That's a conspiracy.
And went out the door cursing and giving sign language to the ushers that I certainly regret today. But the Lord got a hold of my heart on the way home. The Holy Spirit broke me. And I found myself broken on the side of the road, weeping and asking God to forgive me. And it was a day that the Lord came into my life and began a change. And coming out of the background and the effect that I had on all those people, the Lord almost instantly in the next few weeks for sure and months pressing hard upon me that I needed to help others that I had led astray.
Wow.
That's really where the heart of the ministry of U-Turn for Christ began. Although we were in that very Catholic background, we were robbed of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Being spoken into our lives. So as soon as the Word of God started being shown to me and taught to me, and verse by verse, I was able to connect passages and pieces that I had heard sporadically at different times together. Boy, I realized, wait a minute, this is all real. You know, it was really quickly after that that my wife and I were talking about how we would do that. We initially housed men in a double-wide mobile home in our backyard. We have about an acre and a half and have a second home on our property. When our children started to grow up a little bit and our daughter became 13, 14, we said, this isn't a good situation.
situation. That's so good after.
So we started looking for another property. And then, of mm-hmm. course, the Lord opened the door to be able to start the first ranch ministry.
Where was that first ranch?
The first ranch was in Paris, California. The headquarters is still there. My office is still there, Terry. I'll never move my office from being mm-hmm. on the ranch with the men as much as I possibly can be. We've grown to now 13 other ranches in the United States and 16 other facilities in other countries.
Wow. I know that the Lord does big and important things through broken men. I'm interested, Jerry, in the conversational aspect of our relationship with the Lord, because you've described different things that have happened. You know, you were seeing piles of money doing what you were doing. Then here's the last person you expect God to speak to you through, the voice of your wife going, "You got to come to church with me."
Yes.
And all of these things, I think we would agree that all of it is his voice, his process of bringing you to the point you're at right now. But those things that happened through the formation of you being broken, then the Lord being able to build something that builds men and women back into being human beings, basically. Mm-hmm. There's a conversation going on behind that. Everybody hears the stats. They hear the lead lines.
Yes.
They hear about the facilities and they hear about the headlines.
Right.
And you and I really know that the real important thing is not that, but the actual conversation that causes that to go on. Because how he gets us to actually respond to what our hearts really want is kind of an interesting mystery.
It is. And I just take you back to certainly that moment that we were in the courtroom and God used a judge to be able to say from his seat, "It's a quarter to 12. We don't have enough time to get Mr. Brown into your case before lunch. I would suggest to you that you would go to lunch with your wife and see if you can fix your marriage before I dissolve it." And to have the Lord use a judge from the bench when we hear so much about the separation of church and state.
Yeah. This is church right here, baby.
And the Lord saying, "Wait a minute, you've got it all wrong.
Yeah.
I'm the one who put that man in the seat, and I'm going to use him in the seat to be able to speak into my son's life right now," was just a mind-blowing moment for me. And me realizing, man, that was God's, those words couldn't have been any more powerfully spoken, as gentle and softly as they were spoken through that microphone on that bench into my ears and into my heart. And like most of those that were deep in their addiction and selfishness, how do you get to be a drug addict? By being the most selfish person the world, addicted to any of the addictions that are out there. But in my case, that didn't equate. And so the Lord had to speak that powerfully into my life that day, right before the only thing that we had left was child custody. And that's what that hearing was about. And the divorce was final. Terry, the Lord spoke so powerfully into my mind and in my heart that I had to go ask my wife. And the miracle was that Peggy said yes, that she would go. Once we were sitting across the table from each other, I asked her. And again, the response to go to church with her, it was almost a condescending laugh that I had towards her. "Who are you? Are you kidding me?"
Yeah.
And the Lord to speak to me again when I left there, realizing that there was only one, and this is the beauty. Jesus says, "I'm the way."
Yeah.
And that word was a word that has been so powerfully spoken into my life and for me to be able to speak into others. There is no other way.
Yes.
And he was and is the only way, not only then, but today for me to love my wife like Christ loved the church.
Yeah, where else are you going to go? You can't get it anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. When I left that church meeting and slammed the door and slammed the Bible on my wife's chair and was driving down the road, it was a very clear, not that quiet, still, small voice that we talk about, but this powerful, rumbling voice saying, "I have given you the one and only way. If you don't give way to me, then there is only a life of destruction waiting for you. When wow. I'm broken and weeping on the side of the road, with enough of a knowledge of God from my mm-hmm. Catholic upbringing, there was the tug. On my way out, Terry, a man that became a best friend of mine came out to me at the car when I was squealing the wheels to get out of the driveway yeah. from the church. And he said, "Jerry, come back next week. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 6. And I didn't even know where Ephesians was to start with. An usher had to help me when they said, "Open your Bibles to Ephesians."
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I certainly didn't know there was an Ephesians 6. And so I had no idea what that meant.
Yeah.
But I went home. And here's where the Holy Spirit just began to impress upon me. That day, I went home and I collapsed. And the Lord told me on the seventh day, go find out if there's an Ephesians 6. And if there is, you'll know it was I who spoke to you. And it was the hardest U-turn that I've ever made in my life mm-hmm. to head back for the parking lot of Calvary Chapel Hemet. And
yes.
that's where I found myself that morning.
Wow.
And the Bible was open and he said, my wife wasn't waiting for me this time. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew I was coming. I was in the parking lot at 4 a.m. I was waiting for the first service to start. And when the pastor said, open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, I just broke again and just started weeping. And mm-hmm. I didn't hear anything else about the message, Terry.
Yeah.
So he said, if you want to get right with the Lord, you come forward. And that's the only thing that I heard.
What you came for.
And there I was at the front of the altar weeping and asking the Lord to forgive me.
Wow. What a conversation. And it's always life-changing, isn't it?
It
when
is
he
so.
Speaks, it just changes everything.
The powerful thing for me was Peggy wasn't there that day. I sat in the parking lot after that service, praying and asking God to give me the chance to be able to speak to her. I had a restraining order against me that wouldn't allow me to be within 100 yards. And I just said, Lord, if this is you, then break the restraining order for me to be able to speak to her, or I'll go to jail. I have to tell her that I'm sorry. And to forgive me. So the Lord did that. And the beauty of it, Terry, is that we never went back to court. we never went back to that divorce. Papers are still in the final proceeding, and they've never been addressed again.
Well, watch out. She can sign them anytime, you know.
I give her plenty of reason.
What a life, huh?
Yeah.
When you step into this life that we're in,
mm-hmm.
and you look back and remember how completely enamored we were with anything else. It doesn't matter what it was, whether it was piles of money or poverty stricken walking the streets.
Yes.
People are addicted to this sense that their little bubble world is real.
Yes.
Because they thought it up, or because they've been programmed to be this way, it's everybody else's fault.
That's right.
That they have any troubles whatsoever. And that ire that caused you to throw that Bible down and walk out of that place, that was speaking from your position on the throne of your life.
That's exactly right.
And of course, everything is an insult.
That's right. And a setup.
And a setup. And a conspiracy. It's really that perspective that suddenly changes and you go, you know, that wasn't so true.
That's right.
And then over time, and it continues, I don't think we're ever going to stop being blown away. There's no bottom or top to who God is, and he's going to be disclosing himself to us right through eternity.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that with all my heart. He's going to be transforming us right through eternity, because every time he says something or discloses something about his nature, it opens up a brand new chapter for us.
Those examinations are more opportunities for those conversations you're talking about.
Yes.
And through the years, they continue. And today, they're just as profound and heavy as they were the day that I came to the Lord.
There's two sides of that, because you grow weary of being grossed out by what he discloses in your own heart.
Yes.
You grow weary of that and you go, didn't we take care of that last week?
That's right.
And he says, well, yeah, but the mountain of layers of that
is right. never going to go away.
That's right.
So get used to it, buddy. And those that persist are the ones that get the reward.
That's right.
It's not about a proclamation and, you know, doing something good for people one time.
That's right.
It's about a whole new lifestyle that's a work of faith, a process that you determine that you're going to be in on.
And isn't it interesting, Terry, I know for you it's got to be even monumental at times, the amount of people that you know are listening and looking and watching your life.
Yeah.
And the greater, I tell people that I'm more desperate for Jesus today than ever before, and my deepest desperation ever since, because more people are affected now by the way that I live my life and and the things that I'm engaged in and the places and people that I'm working with than ever before. So for me, I know for me, there are many times where if he didn't speak that powerfully into my life, I would just be a mess. And I would miss a special direction, event, person that he wanted me to be engaged with.
That's right. I want to be more and more in tune with what he's seeing and what he's putting me on this plane for, or on that street or in that market.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm going to go after somebody, but I have to be in tune with him.
Yes.
And he'll do everything else.
That's right.
That's my only job, and he's smart enough not to give me any more jobs.
That's right.
I don't have much of a track record, you know, no resume that impresses anybody, especially him. But that's what he wants, is a willing and determined man or woman that will eventually come to the place where nothing has the power to distract or take you into some kind of detour.
That's right.
And the more you determine that, the heavier the detour is and the heavier the delusion that's aimed at you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's playing into his hand, because that means he's going to show something transcendent of anything I've ever seen before in him.
Yes.
So that it will stabilize me and put the flag in that ground right there and go, this is new life right now.
That's right.
Because there's no competition
to
who I've got with me.
Amen.
Well, Jerry, I would like to get into a little bit of detail about not just the philosophy of U-Turn for Christ, but also the mechanics. I mean, over the years, you've probably honed a procedure that the guys and the gals are brought through. And is it different for the guys than it is for the girls?
Absolutely not.
All right. Well, can you get into that a little bit? Because I know that there's people who have heard U-Turn for Christ, and they've heard some of the stats and the lead lines were talking about, but they don't know the behind the scenes and how things work on the ground.
Yes.
Just describe what happens. How does somebody actually get introduced to U-Turn and get involved to start with and then follow it?
It's all God's story. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
I
know who's behind it.
That's what's such a blessing about it, is that we're just those that believe in God's word being true. And he says that if we'll speak his word out of our mouth, it will not go void, but accomplish all that it was sent to do. And so we're given to the knowledge of understanding, I think, better than ever before now, that it is only him and his word. It is his word by the power of his Holy Spirit
that's going to be changed. All the time, doesn't it?
It does. And you can start planning and programming and taking and snipping. And of course, you know, we're called to be good stewards, and we do our study and we prepare. But if that miracle veil of God the Holy Spirit isn't between us and the ears that we're speaking to, nothing happens. So we're aware of that. And basically, all of those that come to us from word of mouth. Pastor Chuck has been so gracious to the ministry. Absolutely love the ministry. And visited it often, spoke about it often, and loved having us there. He was just so gracious to us. But because he told me one time, Jerry, this is the closest thing that I've seen to the beginning of Calvary.
I just was thinking that. Well, he was the original U-Turn guy.
Exactly right. Because of that, and because of some of the first generation guys that have become such good friends, Pastor Chuck, Pastor Steve Mays, mm-hmm. Pastor Mike McIntosh, yep. those guys, more than anything, they just gave me confirmation yes. on what the Lord had already spoken yes. into my life. People get to us by family members that have had a radical change in their life as we've yes. just opened them up to God's word and allowed for His Spirit to do what only He can
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
The way that we do that is we wake men and women up. They're on separate facilities about a mile and a half apart. They get up at 5:30 in the morning, and at 6 o'clock, they're required to be at our campfire pit with their Bibles in hands. And we go through the book of Proverbs. So there's 31 yeah. chapters, 31 days in the month. We take one chapter a day, and we have each one of them read a verse.
Perfect.
Go around the circle till the chapter is complete,
going,
right?
Going through it. Yeah.
And after the chapter is complete, then we go back around the circle and have them pick. Each one of them has to choose one verse that really spoke to them that morning mm-hmm. and that they're going to apply into their lives.
Fantastic.
And so it gives us great opportunity to be able to counsel with them later, mm-hmm. to see how they're doing with that verse in their life that day,
yeah, exactly.
to be able to really have it come home and mm-hmm. to understanding that it's not just a routine of going, opening the word, and then closing the book. And so the simple things are so important to be able to yes. show them that He's alive, that His word is alive, and it's yeah. powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's mm-hmm. going to do the work of cutting to the division yeah. of bone and marrow. They're going to understand as He pricks their heart and mm-hmm. speaks to them, just what you said a moment ago, of showing them Him so
right.
that they can see how far their yeah. sin and their darkness is from Him mm-hmm. and ask and beg of Him to remove it and give them power over it.
And through the Word, the Holy Spirit will give them the insight, okay, now it's my job.
Exactly.
Now, what do I do? What's my part? Well, I got to come over there where He's saying, come here.
Exactly.
Come here to me.
Exactly.
You got to go there.
Exact. Perfect thought.
Whatever you have to leave behind, you got to go there.
He who walks with wise men grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers destruction. To hear from mom and dad, you need to change your friends. Just
That's
goes
right.
by the wayside. To hear from God that you need to leave those that you thought were friends that were only
yeah.
bringing you into the darkness and
That's
destruction
right.
that the enemy wants for your life is a whole different thing. And so the Lord does that through going around that circle. And then we have a time
That's
of
great.
Prayer before we leave that circle. One of the beauties of that circle is many times people will congregate with those that they're closest to. So three guys will come sit next to each other at that fire pit. And we'll ask Rick, as we're sitting in this circle, to pray for you, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And because you and Rick have
yeah,
become good friends,
with each other.
Right? And you've shared things with Rick that you've shared with nobody else, Rick starts praying for those things. And
yeah.
all of a sudden, the whole group is being aware now of special prayer requests that need to be the whole team, the whole body that you talked about.
The whole body is being healed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And can be involved and engaged in the intercessory prayer for that person in
yeah.
that area of their lives. So it's a beautiful time around that pit. At 7 o'clock then, we're having breakfast. And of course, we believe, and I strongly believe, that the Lord had me set this ministry up so that it wasn't just a theological
yes.
you know, campground, but that we were teaching practical Christianity. That's
yes,
in my
course.
Life, all that Christianity is. If it's not practical, it's not Christianity. I want to teach them. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So many of these guys and gals that have come to us have never worked in their life. They've sold dope. They've stolen from people.
Right.
They've done all the things that they could do to not work. So we're, after breakfast, assigning work parties. They go out with an overseer. 4, 5, 6 of them will go out. Some of them go to the Bible college every day and help with maintenance
yep.
at the Bible college. They learn skills, and they learn that they can get a job and provide for them and their family,
yeah.
that they don't
yeah.
have to be in that.
What a discovery.
Exactly. So it's so important
you
for them.
Become a human being then.
they become a human being. And many of them have gone to work in the kitchen down there and help in the prep and then become chefs and have gone out from there 2 months later with a recommendation to be able to get a job at a restaurant.
Look, I'm not a parasite anymore.
I can be an attribute instead of a detriment in society.
Hallelujah.
And to the body of Christ. So we send them out on those work parties. Each one of those overseers is responsible for making sure that a Bible study is done at lunchtime. And then at the end of the day at 3:30, they return back to the property.
Now, who are the overseers that do that? Are they graduates?
Yes. All the men, it's just been a miracle work of the Lord to allow for all of the pastors that are on staff with me at the ranch right now have all been men that have come through the ministry.
They understand. They know the ropes. They know exactly the signs that somebody's shamming.
That's exactly right.
Scamming everybody.
That's exactly right,
Terry. They can see it a mile away.
And you know how that is. They'll try and pull the wool over your eyes and get away with it. And, you know, you just have to say, look, this isn't my first rodeo. You know? We're talking Texan, right?
That's right.
And so you have to put them in their spot and help them to understand that. Yeah.
But that's done with the compassion of having been there before. So it's so powerful.
Exactly.
Isn't that an ingredient that is required for the discipleship process? Jesus is talking to his disciples and they're boneheads at this point, and he says what he says in Matthew 28.
Yes.
To do these things, and when it says to immerse them in me and then teach them how to apply that to their lives, you got to go first.
Exactly.
You know, lead the way.
Exactly.
And that's what leadership is in the kingdom of God, is leading the way, not telling people what to do.
And that's why it's so important for us to have, Terry, when we first started the ministry, I was the overseer going on those work sites with them, okay?
Yeah.
Until I could raise up men to be able to take that place.
Yes.
For me to be able to do other things that the Lord's given me the privilege of being involved in now and speaking in other places and those things, you know, how that happens and graduates into those things that the Lord allows.
Right, because you become an asset in layers of applications.
Exactly. So the ministry has changed in those things, but each and every one of them that are there know that. And those that are in the facilities remind them of them. Oftentimes the leaders will come back and say, you know, they told me that they remember when you were leading the crew down to do whatever that thing was that they...
Yeah.
Some of them go to food ministry and help to separate food. And then at the end of the day, this food ministry, a huge pantry ministry, gives us food to be able to help provide for the meals for those that are on the property.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they come back at 3:30 or 4 o'clock and we give them 2 hours of free time.
Mm-hmm.
And free time, let's be clear on that, it's freedom with boundaries. And much of the free time, there are those that are serious students.
Yep.
I mean, they dive into the Word and they're coming with questions and wanting to talk with one of the pastors about something they didn't understand. We have the men and women on our property wash their clothes by hand. It's not that we can't afford washers or dryers.
No,
it's because it's a principle that we want them to be able to learn and appreciating those that they've taken advantage of for all those years. So they're doing the laundry and others are getting a workout in or some exercise on the property. Mm-hmm. We have basketball courts and some horseshoes and we have volleyball courts and some weights. And so they'll take some time to do that. We have our dinner, 6 o'clock, and at 6:30, they're all gathered at the crosses, an area on the property that has three crosses. It's a little garden area that's a outside sanctuary for us with benches, and we often have devotionals there. But they gather there to pray for the pastor and the women, for the pastor's wife, that is a guest that is coming out every night of the week. We have a guest pastor or pastor's wife for the women or elder of the church coming to deliver a Bible study at 7 o'clock after that Bible study to be able to have a half hour of answering questions. These are young baby Christians. Some of them never have known the Lord. Many of them coming back after a life of debauchery. Yeah. So there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. And early on, I decided I didn't want a monologue, but I wanted them to be able to have a time to really understand what was being taught and to be able to interact and have conversation.
Absolutely.
About the way to apply and the questions that they have in their minds. So they have that period of time and then another half hour of prayer. We ask the pastors and pastors' wives or elders and elders' wives there to be able to come out. And we've got a great group of people coming out, Terry, every night, from God-fearing Baptists teaching pastors and elders to Calvary chapels that are surrounding us, to those that are far away. Costa Mesa comes out once a month, Montebello, some of those that are traveling for an hour and a half or so to be able to get to do it. But they bring a team. And what the team does then is breaks up into smaller groups so that they can have a time of prayer with individual needs and to have personal interaction and contact with those that are outside and answer any questions that they might have. From there, they go back to the bunkhouse. They have a half hour of what we call quiet time. It's them with their Bible on their bunk. Them spending now personal time alone with the Lord, making sure that they understand that it's not just about going to the corporate meeting, but that it's about their personal
wrap up the day
interaction with the Lord. And then it's lights out, and we start again the next day.
That's a great discipleship model because it includes all the things that I think Jesus gives us to do that we would call discipleship, but I find that it's not happening in church.
Yes.
And I don't demean church as it is because it's more like a portal for people to come through, but they need to be going to a place where this day is for these things to go on so that the Holy Spirit can transform me from the inside out. If that's not happening, we end up with the fallout that we experience these days because there's no real training going on. And I don't mean that entirely in the whole Christendom because there's a lot of places where it is happening.
Sure.
But just doing church doesn't cover those things that the Lord gave leadership gifts to the church, like in Ephesians, to actually get happening.
Right.
It's about, and I was watching something this morning that made me realize that there's performance Christianity.
Yes.
It's not Christian performance. That would be a good thing if we would do that.
Right.
If we wouldn't perform being a Christian. But it's like performance Christianity. It's for the cameras. I'm sitting in theater seating to start with, watching a stage. If I'm a thinking human being, I'm going, this is church?
Right.
But being an educated Christian who's wrestled with that all my life, I know where it comes from now. It's the Roman theater and the Greek lecture hall.
That's right.
And it's the safest place to preserve everybody's isolation.
That's right.
And their addictions and their little bubble world being their only reality.
That's right.
And when I step to the piano, I realize I'm there to disrupt that.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And I'm not going to do it in my power.
That's right.
But the Lord's going to just suck the place into the Holy of Holies and go, you came.
Yep,
so
that's right.
Here we go. And C.S. Lewis said it to his buddy Malcolm in that little book, Letters to Malcolm.
Oh, yes.
The first letter was such a hoot because I'm in the middle of this wrestling match trying to articulate this stuff. And his buddy Malcolm, he was so enamored by all the novel things the pastors were doing.
Sure.
And he's on and on about that. And C.S. goes, Malcolm, the reason people get up and go to church, it may not be a conscious thing or something that they would articulate, but at the core of the motivation to do that is this outside chance that they're going to have an encounter with God.
Mm.
And they just put up with the rest of the stuff.
Yeah. That's right.
They gave me a whole clarified picture. I'm looking out at an audience. I'm going,
yep.
Okay, I know why you guys are here.
Yeah.
So let's get to it.
Yeah.
I don't need preliminaries. Let's just go there. And we don't have that kind of time to mess with it. But everybody's messing with it.
No,
with
I
their
know.
Little novel stuff. And it may draw people but not as good as the Holy Spirit does.
Absolutely.
He's the best at it.
Absolutely.
That I've ever seen. There's a real need for what you're doing and the model that God's given you to deal with those who know they're in trouble.
Amen.
It's the sick that need doctors.
That's right.
You know, I didn't come to convince you folks.
Yeah.
Because you're righteous in your own eyes. So who can talk to you? I mean,
yeah, that's right.
He loved those Pharisees, though, because, you know, a dad doesn't talk to a son he doesn't like.
That's right.
If he's given up on him, he doesn't talk to him.
Nope.
Just realize that those dads that you've heard about from their sons or their daughters that just wouldn't give them the time of day.
Yes.
It's because they didn't love their kid.
Right.
If you love your kid, you're going to show it by saying something.
That's right.
And of course, when you're dealing with knuckleheads, most of the time it's a rebuke.
Yeah, there's enough of that, that's for sure.
And for him to do that, it showed God's love for them because they brought the Torah into the New Testament.
Absolutely.
Intact.
Terry, one of the things that for us has been special is to be able to see, because of the group knowing how desperate they are, when you're in that deep darkness and finally get to see the light, it's so attractive. And it's so mind-blowing that there's a feverish desire for the whole group to want to be at worship.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you that
Jesus' definition of worship.
Exactly. In spirit and in truth.
Yes. When you hear his voice, you come there, and no matter what, you have to leave behind. That kind of militant attitude toward it.
But I want to tell you, man, how special it is when you come and lead worship, because it's like, you know, I don't care about the rest of you, but I'm going to worship the Lord.
That's right.
And if you want to come join me, now's the time to jump in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just jump in anywhere. I won't even notice.
And it's so refreshing as opposed to that performance thing that's going on in the church today.
Yeah, I know the Lord is sick of it because I feel the same thing that he spoke out loud when he was talking to the performance religious people that he gave such a hard time to. And we're wrong if we think he was talking out of hatred or condemning them to hell. No, they were just so clueless that nothing else would get their attention.
Right, right.
And a father knows how to get a son's attention if he really loves him.
Yes.
And he's really been engaged in his life.
One of the privileges of pastoring the ministry of U-Turn for Christ, and I guess especially because we founded the ministry of U-Turn for Christ, there's a, Terry, you know this, he anoints you for the calling that he's given you.
Oh, yeah.
And
he fits you for the work. That's
exactly.
For sure.
So to be able to have the men and women that come ready to hear from you is such a privilege.
Absolutely.
You know, to be able to see the light bulbs go on. And just what you said, when you're there and you're seeing the guys and the gals from U-Turn in the audience and you
up.
See
you
it.
See, yeah, you can see little explosions going on.
It's so...
You can hear the thump on the forehead.
Exactly.
And they kind of blow up in their seat.
And that's so invigorating for me that it boosts the little mustard seed of faith that I have, that tiny even, Lord, help me with my unbelief, because this one is
absolutely.
So crusted and so hard. And the next week, this man who I'm doubting, Lord, is raising his hands and weeping before you and singing with
you
everything
watch.
In
yeah.
him.
You can watch it with
exactly.
your own eyes.
And there's nothing greater than
like that,
you know?
Nothing like that.
And so it is with the privilege of seeing day in and day out those opportunities presenting themselves to myself and to the staff.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. And also, it's such an oasis.
Oh, yes.
You know, in the whole church scene,
this
is actually church.
Yeah. This is what it looks like.
What were we doing over there?
What was that again?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it starts to dawn on you if you, and that's why I wanted people to hear what you do, because if you just hear the name of an organization,
yes,
it's not an organism.
Yes, amen.
It's an organization, and we're so used to that corporate thing and the marketing
right
bent on everything, and you don't believe any of it
yes
anymore
mm-hmm.
because it's all been schmoozing you all your life.
Yes.
And that's why we've got a new generation coming up that just will not tolerate
no
inauthenticity.
That's right.
If you're authentic, they're going to sit and talk to you. But if you're not, they smell you a mile away and they just go the other direction. And, you know, I love it.
Yeah, you and I both.
Because it puts the pressure where it should be.
That's exactly right.
Be up in Jesus and let Him talk, let Him draw, let Him do it all. But just be the body He wants to do it through so He can take you to these people. Oswald Chambers is so good about the point is not what you are growing to be. It's what Jesus is. It's who Jesus is and who you're growing to be in Him.
In Him,
and
yes.
It's not self-realization.
No.
And that's the beautiful thing about the guys that wind up at U-Turn for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the end of that thing.
They did. They did.
And there's nothing else left except a U-Turn, baby.
No. No. In fact, one of our pastors that is leading the ministry in South Carolina now went to 17 different psychological-based programs
yeah.
before coming to us and realizing everything that he ever wanted and needed is in Christ.
Yeah.
And now given to him is being able to help so many others. The other part that I love about the ministry, Terry, is, and people have been all over me about this, how can you take a man or a woman who's just come to the Lord 2 months ago or 3 months ago into the mission field? And for me...
How can you not?
Are you kidding? Isn't that what real church is all about? Is being able to show them that Christ not only called them that they might be saved, but
yeah.
that they might be a light unto
yeah.
the world.
They have to start understanding it's not about you.
Exactly.
It's still not about you. And it's still not about you.
And it's never going to be.
It's not going to be about you.
And so some of the most powerful teams that we've taken, mm-hmm. whether it was to the homeless in Riverside and ministering
yeah.
to them, and
yeah.
we do that on a regular basis, or it was to the depths of Africa mm-hmm. and starting a U-Turn for Christ in Nairobi. The ministry has been all birthed from those that have come through, understand their desperate need for Christ,
yes.
and then want to give the
absolutely.
Possibility for others to come to know Him like we do.
What could be better than that? I mean, people ask me about what I do, and I said, I've had a lot of jobs in my life, but this is the best one I've ever had.
Amen.
Because the boss is just incredible. And
that's right.
I can't imagine working for anybody else.
That's right.
And so I just want to wrap this with our agreement that there's somebody listening right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That maybe when you said 17 psychological base, that they thought, okay, well, I'll find the one that'll work.
Right.
No, you won't. And that's not because they're bad. It's because they're just not Jesus.
No, that's right, Terry.
And Jesus is the only one that can touch that place in your heart. You can't touch it, and He's the only one with the key.
That's right.
And you can't change yourself.
That's
you
right.
will never do it. You may even look good on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us did
yes.
before we hit the skids. Then we found out what we really look like
mm-hmm.
without Jesus.
That's right.
Because we can put on an outer facade
mm-hmm.
and even look like a really Christian person and have all the vocabulary down and sing the right songs.
Right.
And believe me, that's the worst kind of person that you want to meet.
Yes.
Is the one that's putting on and performing
yes.
their Christianity for somebody's approval or for some kind of personal agenda, and some of them just because they're just insane.
Mm-hmm.
And they're such a megalomaniac, narcissist kind of personality that they can't see anything else but promoting themselves, and they'll promote themselves in each crowd they go to as they see they need to.
Right.
And I was one of those guys. I grew up being one of those guys and finally wound up at the bottom.
Yeah.
Going, this is just too humiliating. I want out of this.
Right.
Because I couldn't find a good reason to be a human being.
Sure.
And the person who's looking for the help has come to that point.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what it's cracked up to be, and I think I want out.
Mm-hmm.
Unless this 18th program will work. But at the end of it, if you just say, Jesus, he just came to me and said, Terry, I know how you feel. I'm grossed out too, but I want you to know that that reason that you decided not to be a human being, it's the very same reason I became one. And let me show you how I feel toward human beings. And that transformed everything. Because then I had a reason. It's the only rational reason.
That's right.
It's his love for the people that I'm connected with. His love for being alive.
That's right.
His reason for creating us with breath and with brains and with free will and all of that stuff so that we can decide to love him back.
That's right.
And if you'll just do that right now, it doesn't matter where you are. You can pivot and do that U-turn. Right on the spot.
Yes.
And not have to ever move except to come toward Jesus. Get that Bible, open it up, and listen as you swallow the written word, as the living word will speak to your heart in that place that nobody else can.
Mm-hmm.
Have the ears to hear, and you will hear. Have the eyes that are looking for him, and you'll see stuff that you only dreamed of and a lot that you didn't. So, Lord, thank you for this time that we've had together today. We could go on forever, and we will. And that's what's beautiful about this conversation is this kind of focus and subject matter, we'll never have to stop talking about this stuff. So, Lord, bring the fruit in that heart that's listening and cause them to be drawn to the only thing they can lean on that'll hold them up.
Yes, God.
The only thing that'll heal their heart, and that's your love.
Mm-hmm.
It's so awesome. And we just ask that you continue to bless U-turn for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You continue to take it to new territories.
Thank you,
all
Lord.
Over this planet. And I pray that the churches will pay enough attention that they might even start seeing that some of the stuff that's happening is actually what you asked the church to do, and ask you, how do they do that? Not repeat what they're doing or replicate something that's already being done, but to just look up and ask you, Jesus, what do you want to do today?
Yes, God.
How do you want to talk to these people that you've given us to and who are coming to you because of this outside chance that they're going to have an encounter with you?
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen,
amen, buddy.
Happy.
All the music you hear me sing on this program, Terry Clark and Friends, is available at our website, catalystpeople.com, CATALYST, like in chemistry, people.com. Please come and visit us soon.
Everywhere you turn today, there is some new tragedy being reported. The absolute tragedy is the number of Americans that are turning to drugs and alcohol, leading to addiction. At U-Turn for Christ, we offer a two-month residential discipleship ranch, training men and women to live for and serve Jesus Christ as Lord. This is the real answer to a life free from addictions. For information, call U-Turn for Christ, 951-943-7097 or uturnforchrist.org.